Welcome to the Major Thread Podcast. I'm Thomas Majors.
And I'm Daniel Threadgill.
And this is the Major Thread Podcast where we discuss topics related to the Bible, baseball, and life. Today, our topic is baseball. And so that means Daniel will be doing most of this podcast and not me. I get to ask the questions.
I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to get all these questions right or know all these questions. So
I think you'll know most of these questions.
I got you.
All right. So my son, Titus.
Yes, Titus.
He is starting coach pitch baseball. His first game's actually tomorrow night. And so I've been studying a little bit of baseball. To be honest with you, Coach, I don't care for baseball too much when it comes to other sports.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes when you're asked to make a password for a website, they'll ask you, you know, what is your favorite sport? What is your least favorite sport?
That's right.
I'm not saying that I've ever put baseball down for my least favorite sport,
but
I've thought about it
many times.
Over the last few days, last couple of weeks, because he's playing baseball and he really likes it. I played softball when I was in working and maintenance at a factory one time. We played softball during the league, summer league. But I've been trying to learn some of the rules of baseball.
Okay.
That's challenging.
Yes, it is, because there's a lot. And there's a lot of stuff that's up to judgment.
Yeah. All right, so this is my first question. What makes baseball so different than other sports? I think I know. And you and I just kind of bounced this idea off a moment ago, and I told you what I think it is. And so I'm wondering what you say. What makes baseball so different than other sports?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that makes baseball different than other sports. I think it individualizes you. It's a team sport, but it individualizes you in the moment. The other thing is the rules of the game does not allow you to, the way baseball is set up, you have to think long term.
Mm-hmm.
To take basketball and football, for instance. Kid's not playing well, you know, you can call a timeout, set him on the bench for a little bit, let him get a breather and put him back in the game. You can't do that in baseball. You can't just take a kid out and put him back in. There's rules to that. There's rules to substitution with baseball players.
Okay.
You know, so I can't, it's not like football where I can go, okay, you can come in, you can go out, now you can go in, now you can go out. It just doesn't work that way in baseball. So I would think that is one of the main reasons that some of the reasons I think baseball is separate from other sports.
So in my thinking of it, and we discussed this just briefly before we actually started recording, because I wanted to make sure I was thinking correctly, since I am a novice in baseball.
A novice.
But there's all these rules to baseball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the rules give parameters.
True.
Okay, so you know you can't do this. You know you can't do that.
Right.
But yet, there's a lot of gray area to it as well.
True.
For instance, now in my study of baseball, I've been watching YouTube. Okay, that's... Would you agree that's the best way to study baseball?
Yeah, it's what they do now, or TikTok it or something. I could see you trying to TikTok a baseball rule or something now. You know,
I could watch baseball and then dance, right?
Yeah, TikTok. That's right. You go to some Blue Mountain games.
I'll have you know, and I'll have all of the people listening to our podcast. I'm a Baptist. I don't dance.
Ah.
In public, you know?
In public.
Yeah. But just for instance, the other day I was watching a YouTube video.
Okay.
And so the guy kind of hit the ball. I think he bunted it. And
it well, that's didn't, important to know now. Did he bunt or did he hit it?
Well, you didn't really see what he did because all you see is the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And the player gets down and the ball is just barely rolling. It's close to the white chalk.
Yeah.
White, and
yeah.
he gets down, he starts blowing on the ball.
Yeah.
So that it will go on the other side of the white line to the foul line.
Yeah.
And so I was
I've
thinking
seen that before. Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, well, it's in the rules. But that's a little bit of a gray area, wouldn't you say? Blowing on that ball so it moves past the foul line.
Yeah, that would be considered obstruction.
And then just the idea of a player who, I mean, the ball is supposed to go out of the park, but yet he jumps up, runs up the fence and grabs the ball as it's on the other side of the fence, and he's out.
He's out. Yeah.
So you got these rules that define the parameters, but yet there's so much gray area.
There's a lot of gray area. And you don't find that gray area until you play a lot of baseball. Because basically the rules of baseball is you throw a pitch, it's a striker ball, called by the umpire, like it or not, it's a striker ball. You hit the ball, and they throw it to the base. You know, and you're either out or safe. And then you have to generate runs by doing that. Now, that sounds easy as it is. There's so many rules that there's just a lot of rules I can't even think of to make stuff up. I mean, I could, but we could be here all night on rules and stuff of the game. Gray areas. But if you want me to give you an example, I certainly could.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
Very similar to what makes baseball so different than other sports. Would you say the interaction between the officials and the players makes baseball different than football, basketball? There seems to be more interaction with baseball, and it seems to be a lot more decisions made by an official in baseball than in other sports.
Yes, and it's more individualized. When I say it's more individualized in like baseball baseball's an ultimate team sport. Now somebody may disagree and say football is. I also think football is an ultimate team sport because you got different types of people out there on the field
that are
blocking that will never run the ball or throw the ball, but this is and they'll never score. But it's a team thing. All right. So but baseball is in a sense is a team sport where you have to manufacture runs sometimes. You have to give yourself up to get a guy to second base, which is what we call a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You bunt the ball down and you sacrifice yourself and you get a guy in scoring position. The individually based is when I say baseball is individually based in umpire, and there's more interaction with umpires is because is for that reason is you've got one ball and you've got one guy standing on the mound, and all the focus is on that pitcher in that moment. The other focus is on the batter.
Yeah.
That's it. If the batter strikes out, then 50,000 people just saw you strike out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it is. If in football, if you drop a pass, you know, 50,000 people saw you drop a pass, but then at the same time, they also know you're going to catch, you know, probably 10, 12 more of that game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like that's a big deal, okay? But you only get 4 at-bats in a game. 50,000 people just saw that pitcher strike that guy out. and they're yelling and screaming, and you know, if that's the home team, that's great. If the ball's hit to the third baseman and it goes between his legs, and 50,000 people just saw the shortstop or the third baseman make an error, and they're booing him.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. Now, to go back to your question, your comment about the umpire, is that's why baseball is such a demanding sport, on that you want every call, you've got to get every call, because every call matters. And there's so much riding on calls, outs or saves. If an umpire blows a call, then you're going to let the umpire know about it in the professional league.
Right.
You don't do that in college. You don't do it in high school. You know, I'm just speaking professionally here. That's what these kids see on TV.
Yeah.
You know, but my guys are not supposed to talk back to umpires or players, or not supposed to talk to players, but sometimes that gets out of hand too.
Hey, I got a question for you. You ever been ejected from a game?
I've been ejected twice from a game.
maybe that can be something we talk about another time.
It could be.
Because I'm sure there's got to be a story behind it, right?
Oh, there's a huge story behind it. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot. There's stories behind a lot of ejections. I was... You get restricted to the dugout first if you're being mean enough, I guess you might say. And then here's another gray area, is number one, if you're going out there and you're arguing balls and strikes or safes are out, you have to be restricted to the dugout before you can get ejected. Well, there's that gray area where if the umpire deems it necessary to eject you, he can just eject you. He don't have to restrict you to the dugout. All right, so that's it depends on what you said or what you did. You know, he can eject you right then. He don't have to restrict you from the dugout. So I have been restricted to the dugout one time this year. No, twice this year.
Twice this year?
Twice this year.
But only ejected twice In your coaching career.
My entire career, I've only been ejected twice.
Okay.
The first time I got ejected, I did not deserve it at all. I will say that. I didn't.
So the second time, though, you did.
Is
that what you're saying?
I didn't say anything the first time I got ejected. The second time I got ejected,
You deserved it.
I deserved that one pretty bad. I deserved that one.
Well, it's always good to be honest. Confession does the soul good.
well, it's in the parameters of a game, so I deem it okay.
Okay. All right. So let me. Yeah, we're gonna skip.
It's like that. It's like nobody gets onto a basketball player when they fake one way, and they deceive.
Oh yeah.
And then they go around the guy for a basketball. You just deceive that guy. That's unbiblical. Cannot do that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let me think on that. Okay. Let me think on that.
Well, you think on that.
All right. So let me go to my next statement, then question. Okay. I've heard baseball described as the thinking man's game. Would you say that's true? And why would you say that's true?
Yes, I would say that's true. I would say it's a thinking man's game. Yes, absolutely.
Why do you say that?
I could sit here for days and talk about this. When you make, number one, it starts the day before, or if I'm going to play tomorrow, then my thinking process begins when I start thinking about making my lineup out. OK. Okay. So I have to make my lineup out according to what I feel like is the best for the team and who plays if we're going to have a DH or not. Or if I will have a DH that may help us later in the game, that I can sub in and out, and I can sub in and that DH stay in its spot, and then we doesn't lose his at bat in a game. You have to think about those things. Mm. When you get into the game, you're trying to. You know, all I'm trying to do when I'm calling pitches, and me and Coach Nam's, you know, calling pitches. I've called pitches all my life. You know, one thing that we're trying to do, we're just trying to outsmart a 17-year-old up there. You know?
Yeah.
I just threw you a fastball, and I'm going to throw you a breaking ball. I'm going to throw you this. I'm going to throw you that. We try to make all the batters see all the pitches from our pitchers. To make him think, instead of he's only got two pitches, he's got four. So which one of the next four is coming? So it's a more of a thinking game, and then but that gets to just pitch calling,
right?
All right, so you're through the game, your pitcher may be wearing down. So I've thought already ahead of time. Do I want to go with my next guy? That goes to pitch. Am I going to go with this guy, or am I going to go with number with a guy, or am I going to go with B guy? A guy may be a lefty. B guy may be a righty. All right. So if he gets to a point where he can't go anymore, and I decide to pull him, I may let him pitch to another right-hander one time because they've got two lefties in the lineup, and I go with, and then I pull and I take the lefty, and I put the lefty on the mound. Because it's coming from this side, it's going to be harder to hit because the breaking ball and the slider is going to be going away from a lefty than to a lefty, like a right-handed pitcher would. So those things you have to take account in and think through an entire game and base your decision-making maybe three or four innings ahead of what scenarios may happen. I break games down into thirds. Here's first three innings, and then maybe third, fourth, and fifth, and then fifth, sixth, seventh.
Okay.
Something like that. So I have a plan. If my pitcher can't make it out of the first inning, I have a plan for that. If he can't go through but three innings, then I have a plan for that. If we can get to the fourth, I have a plan for that. If we can get him to the sixth inning, then I've got a plan for that. Or to the fifth inning, then here's the plan for that. So I try to break the game down into thirds, and for that very reason, and then go off of that as far as thinking.
Yeah.
You know, now that's me as a coach thinking. The players out there though are thinking too.
Right.
All right, they've got to think also. It's a continual thought process, baseball game is. Now it is boring to watch on TV. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I'll watch college baseball because, you know, it's more you can read stuff better.
Right.
And tell what's going on a little bit better. I like college baseball. I love watching Mississippi State baseball. I'll watch Mississippi State baseball all the time if I could on TV. But if it's not that, I have no interest in watching baseball. Now, I love the Red Sox. You know, they're my team, you know, in the major leagues, but baseball is hard to watch just to sit down and watch for 3 hours of your time to watch a game. Now, if it's World Series, that's a little different because there's more on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing more things to think. For instance, the runners over there at first base, and he may be a green light guy where he's got a green light to steal at any time because he's that fast. Well, the count may be 1-2. Well, that's in the favor of the pitcher. It's also in favor of the base runner because he's going to throw something off speed that's a little slower, that's going to benefit him getting to second base quicker than if he was to throw a fastball. Well, the pitcher knows that, so he may throw a fastball away on purpose or through a pitch out on purpose to see if he goes and takes off to see if you can throw him out anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the thought of the game. You know, that's inside the game that we have to be aware of.
And then there's got to be some kind of awareness, right? Awareness of where the ball is, where the play is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
We throw to second first, get that double play. Or do we go straight to home, throw to home first? And then so there's a lot of awareness of exactly where is the ball. What is the play?
There's more to, you know, I get guys that comes up in the middle school, level. And if they're good players, you know, if they've been around baseball and they know to go to second if the ball is hit to them because there's a runner at first base.
Yeah.
All right. That's great. That's good. Here's the problem though. Okay. Is they get older, they still have that same mentality.
Okay.
All right. So if I'm at second base, and there's a runner at first, and the ball's hit to me, and I'm processing this as a player through my mind, I know where I'm going with it. All right. The elite player goes through every scenario that he possibly can if the ball's hit to him. What if it's a slow roller hit to me? What if it's to my right? What if it's hit behind me to my left and I have to backhand it? Do I just get one? Do I go to second? Or can I just go to first base and just get that out?
Yeah.
So there's more involved in that than just if the ball is hit to me, I'm going to second. Because the ball can be hit to you in 500 different ways.
Yeah.
Now what do you do with it? You know, and that's what we're trying to teach these guys when we're out there and we're doing everything live is, yes, we know just the basics.
Mm-hmm.
We know where we're going to go with baseball. But that doesn't always mean, that doesn't dictate what happens all the time. And there's so many life lessons about that, about baseball and going through, because you could play. You can go through a game and you can play perfect, you know, and you can get beat.
Yeah.
You know, and you can go through games where you absolutely stunk it up. And we did at New Albany one night and beat them 8-6. I don't know how we did that, you know, and it was terrible. And we went to Boonville the other night and played a tough, hard game.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just 1-0 through like the sixth inning. And it's just which team is going to come through with that one big hit? You know, who's going to make another error or make an error that lets us back in this game?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to get a draw a walk or get hit by a pitch? You know, what pitcher's going to make a mistake? Because they are both throwing well.
Yeah.
And, it is difficult sport.
I would agree.
You know, it's a very difficult sport on the mind.
Yeah.
All right. Because you've got a lot of things that you've got to go through, especially pitchers when they're on the mound and you got runners on base, you know, and you got runners at second. Trying to steal signs from the pitch, from the catcher, because they can see it. So now they got to run out there and they got to swap their signs. So in the moment, the pitcher has got to go from, okay, I was looking at this for a fastball. Now I got to look for this for a fastball. And I can't cross up my catcher, because if I cross up my catcher, he's going to miss it and then go to the backstop and it may cost a run.
Yeah. So that's a lot to it. So definitely a thinking man's game. Now, we don't have that much more time, but one of the questions that I asked you before we started recording.
Yeah.
In your determination, what's the best baseball movie of all time? Okay, so why he's thinking about it.
Man, the best baseball movie of all time.
I have to say, I'm a major league fan. Is that Charlie Sheen in that?
Yes.
Is it Charlie Sheen?
Yes.
He's Wild Thing. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Serrano. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been quite a few years since I've seen those movies. I'm sure they're probably inappropriate now.
Yeah.
But so what do you say?
I liked Bull Durham.
Okay.
And the reason I liked Bull Durham was because they called in Crash Davis, who was a minor league, not a renegade, but he was a minor league gypsy, I guess you might say. He'd been to the show. He made it to the show for like 28 days. That's all he ever played. You know, he played 28 games as a major league baseball player, and they sent him back down. And so he floated around in AAA and AA and Single A, and you know, and all that. So what I like about Bull Durham, and Bull Durham is not something you don't want to let your kids watch either, you know. But it's been a long time too since I've seen it. But the thing about Bull Durham is they've got this brand new kid that comes in, Newt LaRouche, that can just throw it. I mean, just 97, 98, 100 miles an hour. You know, he can just blow the radar gun up. And he's crazy and wild, but they bring in Crash Davis, the catcher, the old guy, to mold him.
Okay.
And to fix him. And it's hilarious. I mean, the things that happens through the movie that they do, you know, it's hilarious. But he teaches him a lesson every time he goes out on the ballpark. You know, and then he ends up making it to the show, and the catcher ends up catching in another minor league system organization. And, you know,
well, I've never even heard of that movie,
Bull Durham.
Never seen it.
The Durham Bulls.
Yeah, yep.
Bull Durham.
Never
it's
heard
got
of
Kevin
it.
Costner in it.
Okay,
because he was in Field of Dreams.
That's what I was going to say.
Guy.
I mean, yeah.
Newt LaRouche is. You know who is? It was Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. I forgot his name. Yeah, I forgot his real name. Tim Robbins.
Okay.
Tim Robbins and Kevin Costner in that film, and that girl, that manager for, I don't know, that movie Dusty with George Strait in it was in it. So.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Well,
never seen it.
Bull Durham is a good movie. I like to watch Bull Durham. It's funny. It's a comedy, but as far as baseball goes, it's two guys who hate each other but respect each other.
Yeah,
and one made one better, and the one you hit his purpose of being here was. To get him. He had to room with him. He had to sit by him on the bus.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was his job. And, I mean, his job was to annoy the mess out of him the entire season until he straightened out, until he could straighten his stuff out where he could learn how to pitch, you know. So.
Well, it sounds like an interesting movie, and we're right at 30 minutes.
Right at 30 minutes. We're good to go.
Hey, so I want to thank y'all for joining us today on the Major Thread podcast. And we hope to release a podcast every week. So you can find us on any place that you find podcasts. We also have a website. You can go to our website at themajorthread.com. Thanks.
Thank you.